Welcome to Profit Boss Radio, where successful women have paved the road to their own financial freedom. Each week, your host, Hillary Hendershot, financial coach, money mindset expert, and experienced wealth manager, will help you discover the keys to the wealth and peace of mind you want and deserve in her no-nonsense and authentic style. Starting right now.
Welcome to this Ask Hillary episode of Profit Boss Radio. Today, we're talking about how to handle sudden money, in this case, in the form of an inheritance, and what to do if you're part of a couple and one of you already owns real estate. If you're new to the show, in this type of episode, I answer questions from listeners that I get asked in my private Facebook group. I sometimes also do solo shows where I talk about things like current events. We talk about money mindsets. We talk about how to handle your money, how to invest your money, how to think about debt and things like that. So today, one of the things we're going to be talking about is money operating systems. Money operating systems are the unconscious scripts and strongly held beliefs we're all governed by when it comes to money. You can shift your scripts, but you have to do it consciously. If you want to find out more about money operating systems, check out episode 8 of Profit Boss Radio, where I talk all about money operating systems. And I even interviewed different people who have those exact money operating systems that I talk about, so you can hear their views on money, how they got to be that way. And you can begin to determine what your money operating system is and whether or not you'd like to upgrade it. So if you get my weekly email, the Profit Boss Weekly, you may already know that I just received a registered trademark for the term money operating system and also for Profit Boss. So I'm excited about that. And Profit Boss is not just a podcast and a Facebook group and a weekly email. Profit Boss is really a movement where we've come together and we're saying, you know what? The old way of doing things doesn't work. We're not satisfied with what not talking about money has done for us. I mean, look around. We mostly are woefully financially prepared for the expense of living longer and healthier lives. So whatever we're doing has not been working. And you know what? We don't like Wall Street fat cats and the old boys club running the financial show anymore. So we are standing together and learning together and empowering ourselves and making it happen together. And in fact, someone else's financial success isn't something to be jealous of or alienated by. It's something to celebrate because it's not a zero-sum world. So on today's show, we're talking about sudden money. And you might be thinking, I can't relate, Hillary. But you know what? You have a sister or a friend or a mentor or a coworker who needs to hear this. So forward it along. Send this episode to someone, especially on this topic. You could help someone avoid a very, very expensive mistake. And I know she will thank you for that. At Profit Boss, we operate on the need one, take one, leave one, have one principle. I see that saying on the little change bowls at the convenience store sometimes where, you know, if your total is like $5.32, you can pick up someone else's 2 pennies so that you don't end up with 8 cents or 3 cents in change. And I love that mindset, need one, take one, have one, leave one. And I think that that really exemplifies the mindset shift that we need to create so we can have a paradigm for money where we all win. Up until now, we've been operating as well-armed silos. It's like, hey, my money is my business and you're on your own too. Yeah, well, that really hasn't worked out for us and it's not getting us there. So Profit Boss Radio is about moving everyone together. Profit Boss, the movement, is about moving everyone together towards financial success. All right, here's today's first question. Hillary, if you know your money operating system isn't the best and you inherit a lot of money, what do you need to do in the short and long term so you don't mess it all up? Yeah, great question. Sudden money is the stuff of dreams and the stuff of stress, anxiety, and sometimes even nightmares for people. And, you know, if you're listening, you might be thinking, what do you mean stress and anxiety and nightmares, Hillary? How could inheriting money be the stuff of nightmares? That's ridiculous. Well, really, because it brings up all kinds of emotions. People's unconscious thoughts and strongly held beliefs are dormant in a world of their own making. But if those people who have negative, strongly held beliefs about money end up being the children or heirs of wealthy people, or maybe they make a lot of money in a company IPO, or heck, maybe even they win the lottery, then that can really drum up some strong feelings, concerns, feelings of inadequacy. Like, I don't know how to handle this. I'm going to screw it up. Things like that. And you might have noticed I'm broadening the topic. The question was specifically about inheritances, but everything I'm going to say to you in this episode applies to any kind of sudden appearance of wealth in your life. And you might hear this called sudden wealth or sudden money or a windfall. Sudden wealth can come in many forms. Already mentioned stock options and lottery winnings, but there are also gifts that you might receive from someone. Divorce. Widowhood is a special kind of inheritance. The sale of a home, the sale of a business, a partnership payout. I mean, heck, for some people, their tax refund is a sudden money event. And we're not really well equipped to grapple with and understand and plan for the impact of sudden wealth in our lives. Because mostly money typically comes into our lives in these consistent streams called our net paychecks every 2 weeks. And we design lives that take up nearly all of that paycheck. So we're not accustomed to money coming in large sums. So it can feel exciting and overwhelming. But where we get messed up is that we don't take the time or calculate or figure out, what does this sum of money actually mean to me? What does it do for me? And I'll tell you that for most people over most of life, financial success is a function of what you do effectively most of the time. So if I'm earning $75,000 a year and I go out and I buy a $2,000 brand name bag, yeah, that's probably not the best and highest use of my dollars and I'll have regrets, but you know what? It's only $2,000. And what really impacts my financial success is my consistent spend rate. So how much I spend on things like housing and transportation and my savings rate, how much money I put into my 401k or other savings accounts every year. So as long as you learn from your mistake, you'll recover from that $2,000 misstep. But sudden money can be different. The inexperienced wealth builder will make big mistakes with large sums of money. And for the most part, those mistakes are unrecoverable. If you have an average salary or income that you can't replace the money you spent or lost because you made bad decisions. If you make $50,000 a year and you inherit or earn or win, say $500,000, and you're in your 30s, if you invest it right, that's enough money that you actually never ever have to save for retirement again. Just continue to work and pay for your life and your lifestyle and your salary and invest $500,000 effectively, and that money will compound exponentially and completely fund your financial freedom. Here's what I mean by compounding exponentially, and this is one of the most important lessons of wealth building. Let's say you invest that $500,000 in a globally diversified, low-cost investment portfolio, and that portfolio is expected to grow at, let's just say, 8%. So literally, that means after the first year of investing $500,000, you should have $540,000. That's 8% growth. Well, there's this little thing called the rule of 72. And the rule of 72 says that if you take 72 and divide it by your annual rate of return, what you get is the number of years until your investment should double. That's just a rule of thumb, but let's take a look at what that gives us. So the answer in this case is 9, right? 72 divided by 8 is 9. So 9 years until your investment should double in value. And remember, I said if you inherit this money in your 30s, it can absolutely change your life. So if you're 35 and you invest $500,000 at 8% for 9 years, by the time you turn 44, you should have $1 million. By the time you turn 53, you should have $2 million. And by the time you turn 62, you should have $4 million. And if you wait 9 more years, that $500,000 inheritance should be worth about $8 million. In this example, you turned $500,000 into $8 million. And that is a nice little bit of change. That's the power of compound returns. And when you transform yourself from being someone who pays other people compound returns to being someone who earns compound returns, now you're on the path to being wealthy and financially free. So now here's the huge lesson. Most people who get that $500,000 inheritance will spend it. They'll blow it. And the data tells us that most sudden money recipients lose or squander the money within just a few years. They actually end up further in debt than they were before they got the money. And they think they lost $500,000. But now you know that what they actually lost or squandered was the potential for an $8 million financial life. And that's huge. And the thing about sudden money is that it takes your whole lifetime to preserve and steward that money, and you can blow it and lose it all in an instant. It's like trust, you know, in a relationship with someone, you're always earning trust, but you can blow it all. Years of investment with one liar deception, because once trust is gone, it can be gone forever. And sudden money is like that. Inheritances also include often a good amount of grief about losing someone you love. And that's not to be minimized at all. And I'd recommend you give yourself time to really emotionally grieve before making decisions with the money. Only you know how long you need, but 6 months to a year to really process intense emotions is not unreasonable. If you've become a widow, you're adjusting to life without your partner. It's a huge process. So let's call this the quiet period. And I recommend a quiet period for anyone who receives sudden money. Some people know that the money is coming for quite a while and they have time to mentally prepare, such as with an IPO or like a business payout. But mostly it's like you need time to adjust to having that money, time to allow your self-identity in the world to shift, time to let emotions like excitement and fear and apprehension and greed work their way through your system. The biggest mistake that people make is that they get so excited about having the money and they make grand plans to do the only thing they've ever done with money, which is spend it. And this gets right to your money operating system. Whatever you're doing with money now is exactly what you'll do with larger sums of money. Until I hit my own financial rock bottom, the only thing I knew how to do with money was spend it. My grandmother wrote me a check once for $8,000. I think it was on my 21st birthday, and I spent it immediately. I still regret that. It feels like such a crappy thing to do with a gift of that size. And of course, following the thinking about compound returns, it could be worth almost $75,000 now. And I feel that that was dumb, but I learned my lesson. Most people who earn and build wealth over their lifetimes become part of a community where the conversations support wealth building and preservation. There are circles of people and support networks that exist, financial advisors, tax experts, investors, attorneys, and other wealthy people who are committed to keeping their wealth. And if you came into the money quickly, you won't know about or have access to them. And then you end up with probably well-meaning, but frankly, inexperienced people around you trying to tell you what to do. And if none of your friends or family members have wealth, then they don't have that skill set yet. And now you have your uncle telling you to invest in your cousin Johnny's restaurant and some television evangelist telling you to buy third deeds of trust. And your best friend is asking for a loan and your relatives you didn't even know you had coming out of the woodwork asking for a startup investment or to help pay for their 10 kids go to school. And you're going to be impacted by the conversations that are close to you. That's the you are the average of the five people closest to you adage. Yeah, the conversations that you are around money impact you. So during your quiet period, you can take the time to begin your education about money. Most importantly, surrounding yourself with empowered conversations about wealth and with trusted advisors. And inherent in this process of upgrading the conversations you're surrounded by is upgrading the conversation that you are for money. Really take the time to make conscious and question the strongly held beliefs that you hold on to about money. Those things will trip you up. Maybe you've resented rich people in the past and now you are one. How can you grapple with that? Well, it starts with admitting that you've been kind of a jerk, and that can be hard to stomach. If you've assigned bad character traits to people simply because they have wealth and now you have wealth, if you don't want to do something you'll regret doing with the money, you have to clear the decks and now take on different beliefs about rich people. We all have lessons about money that come from the past, and it is possible to bring them from the background into the foreground, question them, analyze them, and release them, especially the beliefs and practices that no longer serve you. But that takes time. So you've got your quiet period. And during the quiet period, you're upgrading the money conversations around you and the money conversations inside you. And now you need a team of advisors. I recommend a good tax preparer, a financial advisor, and an estate planning attorney. There might be other specialists involved depending on your situation, like a probate attorney. And you should be able to move the money to be titled in your name without making any changes to the underlying investments. At least I hope. This can be really complicated if you've inherited a lot of real estate because you could end up with a tax bill and no cash to pay it, in which case you do have to sell some assets in the short term. For this, a good fiduciary financial advisor who will work with you on a consultation basis can be really helpful. Also, definitely a tax preparer. If you have questions about what to look for in a financial advisor, check out Profit Boss Radio, episode 33, The Ultimate Guide to Choosing a Financial Advisor. So you're sitting and you're waiting and you're letting emotions process, and you've put yourself in wealth building school by getting yourself into conversations with professionals and other people who have wealth. I mean, this is like getting a master's degree in money, right? So it takes time. Let me insert a little conversation about trust here. Obviously, we've all heard horror stories about people who get taken advantage of by their trusted advisors, and that can be really nerve-wracking. But trust is a really tricky thing, because sometimes if you don't give it, you actually put yourself in a bad position. It's like in personal relationships, because people who are jealous and suspicious don't often end up in relationships with really trustworthy people. It's sort of this big intangible mystery in life. People who deserve trust and do the hard work to be authentic and trustworthy don't really want to put up with undeserved mistrust. Maybe they will in the beginning, and it's like, okay, yes, I'll answer these questions about where I was and who I was with, and maybe I'll even answer the questions twice. But ultimately, I know I'm trustworthy, and this is your issue, and I know I cannot resolve your issues for you. And in the same way with professionals, yes, do your research and ask questions and look for the outward signs of trustworthiness, but then ultimately, you're going to have to trust. With financial advisors, you can check out their professional background on FINRA's BrokerCheck website to find out if they've had complaints filed against them. Registered investment advisors have a disclosure document called a Form ADV. I have one of those. I have to send this document to everyone that I have a professional meeting with who considers working with me. If you're working with a financial advisor, you definitely want one who puts your money at a third-party independent custodian. That means your money lives at a separate institution. And that was what Bernie Madoff's clients were missing. When they invested with Bernie Madoff, they wrote checks directly to Bernie Madoff. So that is not how it should go. Look at how long has the person been in business. I mean, these are all questions, the answers to which can inform whether you should trust, but in the end, you're not going to go it alone. And entering into a professional relationship like that with hesitancy or concerns is going to poison the whole thing. So my recommendation is that you find a way to really trust. Okay, so quiet period, upgrade the money conversations around you and in you, and then find your team of trusted advisors. Now you need a plan. Once you can think rationally about your money and understand what it can do for you if you spend it today or invest it for tomorrow, that's when you can, with your financial advisor, form a plan to have it accomplish the most it can accomplish. Any pot of money is a finite resource, and it can't do everything for you. So you need to understand these are its capabilities in various areas of your life in terms of paying off debt, funding education expenses for kids, and financial freedom. Now, you get to pick what you want to do. See, this is much more analytical than, oh my God, I can totally go to the Bahamas and buy a Rolls Royce. And I know that sounds like I'm taking some of the fun out of it, but taking some of that kind of fun out of it will also definitely take regret out of what comes after that. And you should budget some for fun, definitely. So now that you have a plan and your financial advisor approves of your plan, meaning you have a professional opinion that your money can accomplish what you want it to accomplish, you implement the plan. That typically means investing the money in various types of accounts to set the plan in motion. And you might need things like living trusts for estate planning and tax planning for after-tax accounts. And now you are the steward of your money that we talked about before. You've got these upgraded money conversations, and you're surrounded by professional advice and advisors, and you have essentially built up support barriers to keep the money in place and keep it working for you. Congratulations. At this point, you have done the heavy lifting. Now all you have to do is not mess it up. And I'll say one more final word on this subject. Sometimes people get sudden money and they really aren't in a place emotionally or psychologically to even have enough foresight to know that they might make mistakes with it. They end up relying on friends for advice, and they typically spend it or invest it poorly and lose it. So the nature of advice, though, any kind of advice, is that it can really only be given to people who ask for it. So you might find yourself trying to help someone who doesn't want your help and makes mistakes anyway. Those people aren't listening to this podcast, okay? If you're listening, It's because you've woken up to the need to financially fund your dreams and your life and your goals and the things you want. If you're in a place where you're hoping you're not going to make mistakes with a windfall, well, you're ahead of some people who never even hope or wonder. If you're in this situation and you're looking for someone to help, I'd be more than happy to talk with you about whether I might be the right financial advisor for you. You can reach out to make an appointment for a complimentary conversation at Hillary@HillaryHendershot.com. And Hillary has one L and Hendershot has two T's. Alrighty, that's it for Sudden Money. Next question. Hillary, my partner owns a home. I would like to pay rent, help with expenses, and not be added to the mortgage. Would a quit claim deed give me rights to the property if, heaven forbid, something happened to my partner? Do you have to refinance to be added to a mortgage? How much should that cost? And does a quit claim deed make me responsible to pay the mortgage like being a co-borrower? Okay, great question. So the answer to this question is going to be a little different in different states because some states have community property laws where any income earned or assets built during the period of the marital relationship are joint owned by both partners. But in this case, you have one partner who already owned a home and then meets the partner and they form a financially supportive relationship. And so now they want to be partners on the real estate too. So first part of her question, I would like to pay rent. Great. Go ahead and do that. Help with expenses. Sounds very fair and egalitarian. And not be added to the mortgage. Okay, I can get that. And that makes sense to me because why would you want to be added to the mortgage? That just creates more liability. You know that your partner who bought the house can already afford the mortgage, so just leave it the way that it is. There's no benefit to be added onto a debt. Next part of the question, would a quit claim deed give me rights to the property if, heaven forbid, something happened to my partner? No. A quit claim deed is literally the person who owns the asset quitting the claim. So when you own an asset, you have a claim to it. And if you quit the claim, you no longer own it. So if your partner, first of all, nobody would let your partner sign a quit claim deed because then no one would own the house. So what you want to do is either have a revocable living trust drafted by an estate planning attorney, or you can accomplish this with various forms of titling. And titling means how you hold title to the asset. You might have to go to the county recorder's office and change the titling of the house because it's probably owned to an individual. And for example, you could consider owning it in either in a joint tenants or joint tenants with right of survivorship are other options for titling for people who are not married and living in community property states. So really, I can't really cover all the potential scenarios. You should talk to a real estate lawyer or a financial advisor, but probably a real estate lawyer. This is definitely worth a conversation with a real estate attorney. Next part of the question, do you have to refinance to be added to a mortgage? Yes, you do. And again, I don't think you should do that. I don't know why you would. How much should that cost? Well, mortgages cost about a percentage point of the mortgage plus the closing and recording fees. So somewhere between $5,000 and $15,000, something like that. Does a quit claim deed make me responsible to pay the mortgage like being a co-borrower? Yeah, first of all, there is such a thing as a co-borrower, but there's no such thing on a mortgage as a co-signer. And the quit claim deed does not make you responsible to pay the mortgage. The only thing that would make you responsible to pay the mortgage is if you were on the mortgage. And so what you should do is just work out with your partner what they want to have happen to that asset in the event that they get hit by a bus. And you should go see first a real estate lawyer and then maybe an estate planning attorney to figure that out if it can't be resolved with simple titling. So in the state of California, you can title the house to what's called joint tenants with right of survivorship. And that means that you each own half the house in an undivided partnership, and that if something happens to you, your partner gets the whole asset, and if something happens to your partner, you get the whole asset. And so titling can accomplish that pretty easily. Again, you need to do the right thing for people in your state. Profit Boss, I hope that you've enjoyed this episode of Ask Hillary. I look forward to your questions in the Facebook group. If you'd like to join the Profit Boss private Facebook group, the discussions there are lively and the people are lovely. Just head over to hillaryhendershot.com/Facebook and you will be redirected to the private Facebook group.
Profit Boss, thanks for making it to the end of another episode of PBR. I have been doing a lot of thinking about you. I'm thinking about how hard it can be to change old habits. I mean, sometimes I think how nice it would be if things worked like they did for Keanu Reeves in those Matrix movies. If we could just lie back in an industrial punk rock barber chair and have a little cable plugged into the backs of our necks and just instantly become the masters of our financial domains. That would be kind of perfect, right? Except for the part about having the cable plugged into the back of your neck and the whole industrial punk thing. And Keanu Reeves is so annoying when you get right down to it. But I think it's important to form new habits, especially ones as fun as being alerted when new episodes of Profit Boss Radio go live. You want to know a secret? This is one habit that's almost no work at all. All you have to do is head over to iTunes, find the Profit Boss Radio channel, and hit subscribe. That's it. Then each week, you'll automatically find the latest episode ready and waiting on your favorite device. And the best part is that subscribing to Profit Boss Radio is just the beginning of other wonderful habits, like taking control of your money and learning how to build wealth or starring in your own reality show. Well, maybe not that one, unless it's on YouTube and self-produced. But plenty of great stuff is sure to happen when you subscribe. So what are you waiting for?
Thank you for listening to Profit Boss Radio, where creating success on our own terms happens every day. You're not alone in your journey to a rich life, and that's why Hillary is here to add value in each and every episode. See you next time on the podcast for women and money.